Hello everyone, I'm Tess.
I'm Nikki, and we're the Everyday Witches.
On today's episode, we'll be interviewing Ashley, who is a spiritual guide and transformational life coach, intuitive channel energy healer, consciousness activator, and personal brand expert. She helps guide lightworkers and leaders home to create impact, abundance, visibility, freedom, and magic into their lives.
Yes, we're very excited to have her on the show today. But before we get started, we're going to go ahead and set into a little space to be present during the podcast and then do our tarot pull. So here we go.
And today's card is the Five of Pentacles, which represents feeling like you're falling on some hard times, maybe financially or health-wise. And the biggest struggle here is feeling unsupported, so it is a big indicator to seek out support or to seek out other people to help you during this time. Today we are joined by Ashley Spidelli, who is a spiritual guide and transformational life coach, and we are so excited to have you here with us today. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to be here with you guys, and I feel like it's so hard to kind of just like throw one label on a human, right? Like we do all these multi-dimensional things. So I always kind of just introduce myself the way that you just did, but also, you know, intuitive channel, energy healer, consciousness activator, just here to support people so that they could move through their spiritual awakenings and do life the way they really, really want to do it when they think that they can't.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Would you like to tell a little bit more about your background or how you got into your way of helping coaching people and being a part of what you do for everyone?
Yeah, for sure. So I would say like we could go really far back. Back in the day when I was like a little kid, I always just wanted to help people, whether it was cleaning up garbage around the lake near my home. I would want to go save the ducks or feed the ducks and make sure that animals were okay and people were okay. If somebody was ever disabled, I would make sure to open the door for them or be a friend to them. If a kid was getting bullied in school, I was the person who stood up for them if they weren't using their voice and told the other people to like F off, like get a life. So I hated school. I never really fit in, yet I still showed up. I got bullied a lot and I hated it. So I kind of like put my foot on the gas pedal and I graduated high school early, like within a little over 3 years. And then I graduated college in 3 years as well, because I also didn't really love college. And I went to college thinking like, I have to go to college because that was what I was taught and told. When if I could go back right now, I don't think I ever would have gone to college knowing what I now know. Although it was a totally different time where like we had MySpace and it was just the beginning of Facebook. And just the beginning of YouTube a couple of years later. So it was a very, very different time for sure. And I started to work in the TV industry. So my degree is in radio, TV, broadcast, film. And I interviewed bands. And it was a really great, awesome time. I had a radio show. I wanted to be a host, specifically in entertainment TV. And as I went on in life, I started to realize that I would have to do some things that I didn't really want to do, like waitress or bartend, in order to like do auditions to get that job. And it didn't actually feel authentic, because at the time, from being so bruised and hurt as a kid, I thought like, I'll show you, right? Like I'll be super successful. I'm going to be famous. I'll show you, from a very like wounded place. And I was like, that doesn't feel good. So we're not going to go for that. Looking back on life, I always kind of look at it and say, wow, like once I understood manifesting, I can understand from a space of, I've been a manifester since like the day I was born. Anything I ever put my mind to, I've achieved or I've gotten. And some things took a really long time. Some things were like really quick. So the guy I was dating at the time was like, well, you're not really loving what you're doing. Why don't you do makeup? You did makeup for film in college. Like, why can't you do that as a career? And I thought, oh, like, interesting. Never even thought of that, like that I could do that, because like, that's not like a regular job, you know? So I started down that road and became a professional makeup artist and went to school in LA and studied special effects and prosthetics, went back to New York and worked there for years, just doing like small independent films, New York Fashion Week. I worked for almost every cosmetic line under the sun at the time, and then really built up my lash business of doing lash extensions and then bridal business over on Long Island. And I found myself in a lot of spaces just not actually being happy. I was just like, is this really like what life is about? I hate it here. Relationship wise, things just kept not going my way. I had tons of anxiety and depression, and I was on a bunch of antidepressants, and I like just kind of felt like a shell of a human being. And one day woke up and was like, I can't do this anymore. I need to figure out how to get off these drugs, because there's got to be more. I was starting to see people in my field of being happy and like living a different lifestyle, and I didn't understand how they were doing it. So I started to find books. And the first two books that I found was, I believe it's called Earth Angel by Doreen Virtue, and then Spirit Junkie by Gabrielle Bernstein. And I read those two books and they shifted a lot within me when I realized that, holy shit, I don't actually love myself. Because at the time I was in an abusive relationship and I was scared out of my mind. This person like basically convinced me and manipulated me to believe things that I was in such a fear state that it was crazy to me that I was like, wait, why is my life like this? And I hit rock bottom. I lost everything. I was like homeless for a short period of time. And then that essentially started my spiritual awakening. So I just knew that I needed to get out of Long Island. I knew that it was time for me to head to California, because I had been here two times, and I just knew my soul got to be on the West Coast. So I started to just work my butt off with my business at the time, which was the makeup and the lashes. And I saved a ton of money and I did a ton of personal development. I didn't date anybody for 2 years, read a ton of books, and then was like, okay, I'm ready. And I moved to San Diego. And that was in the fall of 2017. That also was the same year, at the beginning of the year, that I decided to dye my hair pink, which changed the trajectory of my life in so many different ways. But at the time, I didn't know that. It was just something that I was terrified to do, was touch my hair and dye it a color. So I took that leap. A voice told me to do that when I was in Rome, when I was visiting like the year before. And fast forward, I moved to San Diego and I was like, wow, you know, I don't want to rebuild my makeup business. I had just gotten certified to do microblading for brows. And I was like, this is fine. I have this to fall back on. And everything that I tried to do, the universe was like, no, you're not doing it. You're just not going to do it. So I ended up really, and before I moved, creating this network of people and these new friends over on the West Coast in the blogger influencer community. And my Instagram kind of exploded at that time. And I was just sharing still about all the things that I loved and being positive and not fully owning my spiritual gifts at this point. Although, to back up, I got certified to be a Reiki practitioner back around the time that I started my spiritual awakening. I found energy healing and was like, oh, this. And that really awakened that. But nobody understood what that was at the time in New York. So it kind of was just like hanging out in the background for myself, but I wasn't sharing it. So people started to ask me, how did you get your Instagram like that? How did you do this growth? They were like, you have such a presence and it's such a brand. And like, how did you do that? So my creative brain was like, oh, okay. And I started to teach people how to build brands online and their businesses online. And that's where everything started to snowball and turn into the space of everybody thought that they were building brands, and they were. But really the inner work and the personal development work and the spiritual work was what was really underneath all of that. So in 2020, I was still doing personal branding, and I was really in this space of awareness that I really wanted to step further into the transformational space and further into really just owning that as my truth with my spiritual gifts, as well as guiding people and not being shy about it. And obviously we all know what happened, and a pandemic hit. And at the end of 2020, my dad got sick suddenly, and then he passed away. And that was another turning point in another spiritual awakening of my connection with spirit. I always had it. And I was actually working with a coach at the time, before I even found out my dad was sick, on working on my mediumship skills. And it just took me into this whole other space of connection with source and God. And everything like has shifted. And that's kind of like what brought me into the space that I'm in today, of really just being able to powerfully, unapologetically, authentically show up as myself, my true self, to be able to guide others through whatever they're navigating in life, whether that still be they want to build a kick-ass brand online and a business, or they just want transformational life coaching so that they could attract abundance in all areas of their life, like money and relationships, a car, whatever. And that kind of brings us up to now.
That's amazing and a big journey. I mean, there's so many areas that you covered and that you went through, and you were successful in a lot of different avenues, you know? And I think that's something people have a hard time recognizing, is that you can be successful in one area and then decide it's not for you and move on to a different area and keep expanding and growing.
100%. I agree with you. And that's like, what is the phrase? If you're not green and growing, you're ripe and rotting.
Oh, I like that one. Botany reference.
Yeah. Cause like, if you are just staying in one place and you're not continuing to evolve and expand, then like, you're staying in one place. But as you change and you shift and you grow as a human being, a lot of things that probably resonated with you previously aren't going to resonate with you anymore when you're on a journey of enlightenment and expansion and ascension within yourself to be a better connection with self and source.
Yeah. And I know on your website and Instagram, you talk a lot about like self-sabotage and self-doubt. I was wondering if you could give listeners advice for how to deal with self-doubt and how to get over it.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say it's a journey with that, to be honest with you. And like, the self-doubt is just these limiting beliefs in your mind. And if you can understand that there are limiting beliefs that you were taught this thought process, this patterning from when you were a kid, somebody told you that you couldn't, and then you believed it. Something told you that you couldn't, and then you believed it. So that's all in your subconscious, and you get to rewire it. So the self-doubt, the limiting beliefs, the things that self-sabotage comes in are things that like there's a lack of worthiness, or you feel like it's a lack of deserving because you just are deserving and you just are worthy because you're born that way. And even though I can say that out loud on this podcast and speaking to you guys, there's still pieces of myself that I'm working through. Like there's always going to be another level of growth or, you know, something that comes up for you whenever you're doing something massive or big or something that might scare you. There's gonna come a moment where there are these little limiting beliefs and there are these little things that happen. And the best advice that I could give you is to really remind yourself of all the things that you have accomplished. And it could be like so small, but if you want something, if you desire something, if you want to create something in your life, that commitment has to outweigh the doubt and the sabotage. That it may come up for you, and it still comes up for me too whenever I'm doing something new. And I just have chosen and decided that I'm going to do it anyway. So that's kind of like the little piece there, the self-doubt. It's like you could sit in your self-doubt all day and self-judgment or shame and worry about what somebody else is going to think, or you could actually take the action that's going to propel you forward to actually have what you want.
Yeah, I totally love that advice. Yes, that's very, very good advice. Another amazing thing that I love so much, because I'm currently working on growing my social media presence, and I love the fact that you're so authentic on your social media. And I was wondering if you might be able to divulge some advice for our listeners on how to be authentic and to show up in that space in a more authentic way. Because it is something that people do struggle with, like being comfortable on camera or just, you know, posting that picture and being like, ooh, should I, shouldn't I? So, but I love how authentic you are.
Thank you. This is probably another long-winded answer.
We like the long answers. We're good.
Yeah.
No, because like authenticity just isn't like a, okay, let's be authentic, right? It's actually a bunch of inner work. You know, it comes down to like your own personal self-love. And then it's, again, if you feel like you can't be you fully, there's judgment of yourself that you're causing within yourself of like, who am I to do this? Like this photo, like I can't post this video. People are going to think I sound ridiculous. Well, those are the thoughts in your head to begin with. So if you think that, then yeah, maybe somebody else might, but who cares what anybody else thinks? Your intention when you are showing up online is to be in service, to be in contribution, to help somebody. Now, you're going to talk about yourself. That's natural. That's relatable. People connect with you because they want to connect with you, which is an energetic thing, which then rolls into confidence, which is a part of authenticity, right? When you're confident, you show up powerfully. People feel that. When you're inauthentic, people also feel that. They'll feel it's forced. They'll feel it feels icky or something's off. So it's really the underlying inner work that I would say that comes to back to you owning it and you knowing that you're a superpower and you're amazing already. And the people who are going to listen, the people who are going to land on your social media and connect with you are the people that are meant to. And if you're just starting out and you don't have a big following, you get to talk to that one person. Every single day I go into my day and I think to myself, if I could impact at least one person, I've done my job. Just one person. That's it. And I know that I impact more than one person a day, but I'll never know how many people I actually do impact. There are tons of people that will never say a word to you. They'll never like your stuff. They'll never comment. They'll never DM you. And then you'll find out that they one day, maybe 3 years, 5 years later, and they've been like, I've been watching you for the last like 7 years, you know, like, and you're like, what? Where did you come from? Why did you never say anything to me? So to loop it back, one of the biggest feedback that I receive is when I show up online and somebody meets me randomly in person, they're like, wow, you're like actually who you are online. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that goes back into your question about the authenticity, which again, this is the long-winded answer of like, I think it comes back to me just being like comfortable within myself. So it gets to be that you're comfortable with you. So what do you get to do as the individual, as the human being, to make yourself feel safe in your body and confident and comfortable? And one major thing of confidence that a lot of people don't talk about, or you don't hear as often, is that when you are your word to yourself, when you are committed to yourself, when you show up every single day for yourself and you follow through with that, that boosts your confidence. If you are not your word to yourself, you're not going to be your word anywhere else in life. Because how you do one thing is how you do everything. So it's kind of like this flow of, can I be my word to myself? Can I think that I am my own best friend? And can you treat yourself as your own best friend? And if you're not treating yourself like your BFF, then you really got to sit down with yourself and look at yourself in the mirror and have a serious talk. And these are uncomfortable things, because if you hate yourself and you're showing up on social media, it's kind of hard to mask that. Like, people are going to feel the inauthenticity. So the not so loved answer, I guess, of being authentic is like, you just got to be relentless. And any self-doubt, any limiting beliefs that come in that are surrounding you showing up powerfully and questioning your whatever you're putting online, you have to throw that out. And you've just got to be willing and ready to be unapologetic and show up. And the more you do it, the easier it's going to get.
Yes, I agree. It definitely is easier the more often you do it. But it can be hard at first, and you feel awkward or weird when you first start doing it. And I was also wondering, like, with social media, especially if you have a big following, it's hard to set boundaries sometimes. So do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, boundaries is a big thing for me, girl. I have not always been the best at boundaries. I'm not even the best at boundaries with clients currently. Sometimes, and that's because I'm so committed to my vision of like wanting to guide people and support them, that if they need my help, like, I'm there. And energetically, I do get like spent at a certain point. And I have to say, like, okay, like, boundary, like, I cannot allow myself. I have to take a break. Or I have to take a rest. And I've kind of, this has been in waves. So in the beginning of when my social media kind of like really took off and my DMs were like really overflowing and there was like hundreds of comments, which Instagram has changed so much now, so it doesn't look like that anymore. But I used to get really overwhelmed and like paralyzed at responding to messages, and they would go for weeks. And this still honestly happens sometimes where I'm like not the best, because I've got messages in TikTok. I've got them in Instagram. I've got them in WhatsApp. I've got them in Voxer. Like, I have them all over the place. So I think it comes back to like that commitment to yourself again, of setting a boundary to yourself. And if you cross it and you don't, you know, allow yourself that boundary, then that's like something that's coming up for you that you've got to look at. So I know for my clients, when they don't have their call and they have like outside support, which is typically on Voxer, I have hours Monday through Friday. But I put them there on purpose for myself. But 9 times out of 10, I still respond outside or on the weekend. But my clients also know that I don't have to respond right away. And they don't need me to respond right away, because I've taught them that. And it's the same thing with DMs at this point, like, and comments. Sometimes I don't even respond to comments, and it's never anything personal. It's just because I'm overloaded. So I would say that, like, kind of look at wherever you're at with your social, and it depends on what your goals are, right? Like, if you're building a business right now, you get to have boundaries for yourself. And also at the same time, like, if you are really, really, really going into the building stages, you might cross those boundaries a little bit because you're trying to make things happen. I hope that answered that question.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it's just difficult in general, but I think you answered it, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of different outlets for people to communicate on. So, you know, I try to set like a timer in my phone too, of like, okay, we're only gonna try to focus on this one thing for 30 minutes and that's it. Because I do, you know, I learned like a year ago that I have ADHD, and I was like, wow, like my whole My whole life makes sense now, right? And I don't take anything for it. Oh yeah, in my story, I forgot to even say, like, and I've been off of antidepressants for 10 years now and just like do everything naturally at this point. But like, you know, there are still these moments where like some of those tendencies will like pop in, and I have it mostly managed, but like also I can feel there are certain days where, you know, I have squirrel brain or executive dysfunction and I feel paralyzed. And then that's usually my sign of like, you need to take a break. You're trying to do too much. So theming your days too, is a good thing for people to do. Like one day is a content creation day, one day maybe is more outreach and response. And then again, like time blocking, if you can be really supportive for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I try to like at night, like don't pick up my phone. Like that's, you know,
yeah,
but it's still hard. But yeah, it's like setting those boundaries of like, this is me time and not answering anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do the same thing in the morning. I'm the first 2 hours of my day is for me to walk my dog. And like, that's where I find myself the best, like to meditate and like think about my ideas. I find that that's like, but I do the same, but then I'm like, okay, the first 2 hours when I get back is all about doing my social media, checking my emails, all those things. But it's a lesson, like it's a habit, right? Of getting yourself going and putting those boundaries in place. Like, no, I'm not available at this time. And I am allowed to have a life. Just because I'm not working a traditional job doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to have space for myself. Cause
yeah,
you know, if you can't fill up your own cup, how do you fill up others as well? Another thing, but like you said, in the building phase, I definitely agreed with that. Like where you kind of, you set those boundaries, but then you're like, I can work another hour or
yeah. I think it comes to like where you're at, and everybody's going to have a different viewpoint of like, you know, that hustle and that grind culture. And I come from New York, so like I can grind and I can hustle, but I, you know, you want to also try to prevent burnout, but like what actually are your goals and your dreams? And then you got to figure out for you too, as the individual, what works best for you. Right. And I read a ton of books, so I've read so many different perspectives on this. And psychologically, there's so many different things that we could say play into how we are as human beings. And there's a lot of people who are super successful and they just stick to certain things. And some people will say, okay, like you've got to cut out XYZ. And I don't necessarily think, yes, you make sacrifices, depending upon like how big your dreams are. So a sacrifice might be like, hey, you know what? Like me personally, I don't go out on Fridays and Saturdays. Like I don't go out and party. I haven't done that in years. I would rather be at home reading a book or working on something that's going to benefit myself or my business. So it kind of just comes down to like those choices that you're making. And also, I agree with you, like you don't have to get up in the morning and touch your phone and be on social media first thing. Like I don't do that either. Like I do the same thing that you do. The first I block out my morning where I don't take calls before 11 a.m. most of the time. And I go to the beach and I walk my dog and I connect to spirit and I ground in the sand and the water and I cleanse. And then I get ideas and downloads. And then I go out and I start my day. And I still take breaks in the in-between of that to like meditate or take a walk around the block or dance to a song or something. Kind of just depends. Like you create it. So it could be anything that you want, but if you're not used to creating it, and I still forget sometimes that like I'm creating it and I'm like, oh yeah, like you could go do a thing. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great advice. And it is just like whatever works best for the individual person. The one question that we always ask all our guests is, what does magic mean to you?
What does magic mean to me? It's one of my favorite words. And if you could see behind me, it says, stay magical. It's like my catchphrase for the last over a decade and how I end my podcast, which is currently on a hiatus. But, you know, magic is just like, I feel like there's not even another word to describe it, right? It's an energy. It's a vibrational frequency that isn't on the vibrational frequency scale, but I would say it's somewhere around the lines of a love vibration, because it's just like, it's your essence of who you be. It's a miracle. It's whatever you want it to be, kind of like what success is, right? Success is anything that is what you make it mean. Just like everything, like you give everything meaning or how it matters to you. So magic is just like this little sprinkle, I think, that we can add into our lives, and you get to make it mean what you want it to mean. So for me, I just say like your magic, which I also refer to as like your superpowers, your gifts, like those are magic things. Those things are like inside of you, and you get to give them away because it's energy. And it's just a really cool way to describe it, I think.
Beautiful. Yes, absolutely beautiful. Excuse me. I love everything that you have said so far. And I know that you also help people connect with their spirit guides. And I was wondering if you could maybe explain a little bit about how that benefits their lives, and maybe some advice for how to get started or looking into connecting with your spirit guides as you're on your spiritual journey. And I think it's a really neat subject to talk about.
Yeah. I love this. It's really cool because we all have spirit guides and we all have a divine team. And again, like when we think about energy, it's like we're energy. Energy doesn't die. We're just like in this vessel, in this meat suit on this planet right now. And then our soul is the energy that leaves it and never dies. So it can go through multiple different universes. We can astro travel. We can connect with other energies in a different time space reality. There's just so much that goes on there. So spirit guides could be loved ones that crossed over. They could be angels. They could be just another energetic being that's there to support you and guide you. They could be fairies. So many different ones. And we all have these guides. So I've done it in a way where I can hear. So I'll hear. I'll also see like shadows. And sometimes they'll tell me their names. And sometimes it's just more of a feeling for people. You can kind of like feel a presence and a knowing. So for all people, it's different. And a way to connect with them is honestly, start meditating. The more you meditate, the more your connection to yourself is going to expand, and the more you're going to connect to source, and that allows your spirit guides to come in. And they're just like your guardian angels in a way, right? Like it's connected to your intuition, but it sounds different and it feels different and it feels almost like it's not you. So if you ask for guidance or if you ask for a sign, a lot of the time, if you are open and available to receive it, they will do it. A lot of the time they will do it with numbers and you'll see like 111, 555, 777. You could ask for specific things as confirmation from the universe and from your spirit guides, and they will direct you and show you. So the way I talk about it is like, you're never really alone. If you're willing to tap into your divine team, they're there to help you, guide you on this journey. So I actually have a spirit guide activation. It's on my website. I think it's on my website. There's a link in my bio to it, where I take people through an actual activation so that you have the opportunity to connect to them. And even if you have connected to them in the past, you have the opportunity to connect to another one or a new one. But outside of that, I would say like, it's really just you kind of like sitting with you and trying to really just ask them to show themselves.
I love that. I love the term divine team. Like, I think that's a great way to describe it. And I know that you offer a one-on-one mentorship on your website. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what that entails and also who it's best suited for.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for asking. One-on-one is like my favorite, and I'll always do one-on-ones because I love working in an intimate setting with my clients. there's two different options available right now. You could work with me for 3 months or you could work with me for 6 months. I always invite people into the 6 month because you're going to get, you know, more expansion working with me for 6 months. So it's for somebody that is, you know, still I take on the clients that are building the business, building the brand, but also expanding their spirituality and connecting to their intuition and wanting to, you know, be a leader. And they know that they're a light worker and they're moving through their spiritual awakening. And there's so many different things that like intertwine in that. So I support people on their journey that way. And then in addition to that, I support people, you know, who are just going through their spiritual awakening and, you know, they don't have clarity in this moment of what they want to do or where they want to go. And they're rediscovering themselves and they want to know who they are and their identity so that they can, you know, work on their relationships. And I work on transformational inner work with them and shadow work and energetic work so that they can heal different parts of themselves so that they can attract relationships that they want through, you know, teaching emotional intelligence and really just to become more confident and embodied in who they are. And then if they start with that and there isn't like an online business thing that they're looking for, sometimes they then get a creative hit and then they continue to work with me because something came through the learning and expansion and growing of self. So that's basically how it looks. It's all customized for the individual, whatever their goals and their dreams are.
Fantastic. That's amazing. And does that also include like holding people accountable to their goals and aligning with their higher self? Because I know for myself, you know, being held accountable, I'm always more willing to do the work, knowing that there's somebody on the other side who's like, hey, are you going to get this done?
Oh, yeah. 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 Like when my clients come on to work with me, it's like you get a cheerleader, you get a loving interruption, you know, you're going to get feedback, you're going to have that accountability. You know, we meet weekly on Zoom calls for an hour, and then we have Voxer support in between for you to like voice me or text me and ask me like what's coming up and share what's coming up, and we celebrate wins. And then I ask you if you're doing the things, and you know, you have like a lot of handholding with one-on-one opposed to something else that might be like a group setting. For example, so many people have like wanted to work with me and I have never offered something where it was like a lower investment for people, but to have a community space specifically now for like moving through like a spiritual awakening and wanting to be more confident and tap into their intuition and their gifts. So I'm about to open a new experience that's more like a membership for a year, and it's called Activate. You guys are the first ones hearing it. So it's going to be dropped probably, I don't know when this podcast is coming out, but like at the end of August, beginning of September, just to like start like off September. And yeah, it's going to be a really amazing experience where, you know, you'll have two calls a month. One will be a new moon circle. And then the second one will be an activation, and you'll have Q&A and coaching at the end, and then a community to be able to network and connect with more like-minded people.
That's awesome. I think so many people, especially right now, are looking for a community and looking for more support. So I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing that with us. That's so incredible. And I feel honored that you share that with us today. I love the pink hair, and I just think you're like super iconic. And I wanted to know if you had a definition of what you think iconic means to you. It just came to me when we were coming up with the questions. I'm like, I need to ask her about her iconicness. Like
oh my God. Wait, yes. I love that. I love that you asked that, because my group program is called Iconic. I launched it, a couple times, and then like pulled it at the beginning of this year. And then I was like, no, end of September is when I'm launching it. So yeah, it even says in my bio right now, be iconic. So iconic is just an energy, right? It's like, it's an embodiment. It's an energy. It's a confidence. It's how you can stand out in the world, not just online, but like in your life. So being iconic is you being fully expressed in yourself, unapologetic, authentic, like the theme of what we've been talking about. But there's like a whole entire energetic methodology to it that I created. So I'm super excited to like share that with the world very, very soon. But yeah, being iconic is it's an energy. It's a vibration, just like magic is to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's totally. And I also think it's like a confidence too. Like you have the confidence to be iconic.
Yeah, because it's kind of like when I talk to people about personal branding, and it's a very visual thing, right? Like you've got to have a thing. So some people are like, oh, well, I'm not going to be like, you know, the Instagram models or whatever. And I'm just like, no, like, that's not what it's about. You know, like energetically, it is an energy, but also it's like, you've got to pull somebody in visually by you putting intention into you and your image. And sometimes it might sound like vain or whatever, but that's part of you loving yourself, is choosing to put the intention into the things that you choose to put your clothe your body in, right? Like clothes hold an energy. So if you find colors that you love that make you feel powerful, that's what you should wear. If you have like a signature color, that's what you should wear. You don't necessarily have to dye your hair a certain color, but like if you love yellow, then make sure that you have a lot of yellow in your wardrobe. So it teaches your audience, it teaches people who meet you that like, that's like her thing, you know, or his thing or their thing, whatever that might be for you. That's going to make you memorable in the back of somebody's mind, and they're not going to know it. It's going to be happening subliminally, but that becomes part of a building block of you being iconic. In that energy is the time, the intention, the thought process behind it, so that you can impact more people.
Yes, 100%. And something else we would love to know is, when you're not helping others or building your business, what do you enjoy doing for fun?
It's a great question. you know, I'm pretty low key. So what do I like doing for fun? Honestly, it's like catching a sunset. It's like going to the beach in the morning. It's very like small little things. Being with my fur babies, my cat and my dog. Like reading. Reading is actually fun because I love learning, continuing to grow and expand, and then spending time with people that I love, you know, just getting a cup of tea or going out for lunch or dinner or something. So exploring new places, being in nature, that's what I would say is fun for me. And dance, like taking dance classes is also really fun.
We always like to ask everybody at the end of the interview, something that magical that happened to them this week. It's just always a fun way to kind of celebrate, like you were saying, the little victories, and the little magical moments that we incur in our everyday lives.
Oh, something magical that happened this week. I'm going to give you two things. They're two like totally different directions. One is that my cat Jupiter is like 10 months old, and we have a hummingbird. Well, I have multiple hummingbirds, but I call them hummingbird friends. And this one little hummingbird keeps landing, and she's doing it right now, on the leaf. And she told me her name is Penelope, and Jupiter just sits in the window and he talks to her. And the hummingbird just like turns its head and then it flies away and it comes back. So I personally think that that's like a very precious, like magical thing that I get to experience every day, because it really just makes you present. And I'm like, wow, nature's so cool. And like my baby cat is just like, nah. And I'm like, you don't make any of those other noises unless you're talking to this hummingbird. And it's gotta be the same hummingbird. Like she's gotta be seeing, you know, him. It's very interesting to experience. So that's one magical thing. And then the other one is that I manifested an artist that I'm obsessed with to create my book cover. So that happened this week, and she's been working on it, and it's really cool. So that's also something that's awesome.
That's amazing. When is your book going to be out?
You know, my intention is the end of this year, but we'll see how it goes. It kind of depends like how long it takes me to complete the manuscript, and then yes. For it to get published and everything. My goal is by the end of the year. But if not the end of the year, it'll probably be in January, if it's not December.
That's awesome. I mean, writing a book is a huge deal too. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
And thank you so much for being on the podcast. We are so excited to have you. And I think our listeners are really going to enjoy everything you had to say and all your advice.
Of course. It was like an honor and a blessing to be here. So thanks for inviting me.